Hello, friends. I'm Barbara Hemphill, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and vision accelerator. Welcome to Christine Smith's From Pretty Good to Radiant Joy podcast. With practical and inspiring ideas about the healing, love, and power of God, Christine and her guests encourage you to enjoy the radiant, joyful life God created you to live. Christine is a trained spiritual director with a heart for unity. She's an author focused on Holy Spirit's role in women's lives, especially women over 50. Let's welcome my sister in Christ and yours, Christine Smith.
Hi there. We have just celebrated Holy Week, the Passion of Jesus Christ, and his glorious resurrection on Easter. During that time, most of us have probably gazed upon images of Jesus on the cross with his arms outstretched. He was suffering intense physical pain as well as the anguish of knowing how few people really got what the gift was that he was coming to bring us. That is, to bring the world from sin and death or the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He was mocked and reviled. Even most of his closest disciples abandoned him and were not at the foot of the cross, fearing the consequences for themselves. As he hung there, what was in the heart and on the lips of Jesus? We know from these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm Christine Smith, and today, rather than having a guest, I'm talking about why and how to forgive. I'm going to go over 10 common reasons why we don't forgive, the power of forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness, and some practical how-tos, for our eternal life depends upon it. I've had real experiences of not forgiving, of forgiving, and even of reconciling. Toward the end, I will talk to you about those. I have led hundreds of people successfully through the forgiveness process over the last 11 years with the help of the Holy Spirit. One huge reason why many people haven't forgiven is that they have never been taught how to forgive, or they don't recognize their unforgiveness. Forgiveness is for you and your healing. It's an act of the will, not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a process. It's taking responsibility for how you feel. It's taking back your power. When you're in unforgiveness, the other person still maintains some power over you. Forgiveness is peace and understanding. It allows you to live in the present rather than holding on to something in bitterness and resentment. And then the past is ruling your present. It's healing, it's empowering. It is the manifested power of the cross, and it's mandatory. Let's talk about what forgiveness is not. It is not condoning bad behavior. It's not forgetting something that happened to you. It is taking it, however, from being something that haunts you to something that you remember, but you also know you've dealt with it and it's in the past. Doesn't have to be having a big influence on your present. Forgiveness is not making excuses for the perpetrator or the person who harmed you. It's not denying or minimizing the hurt that you suffered. It's not the same thing as reconciling. Forgiveness only takes you and God. But reconciling takes you, God, and another person, or more than one person, if depending on the extent of the forgiveness. Forgiveness is not stuffing your feelings. It's not lowering your defenses. It's not getting an apology or remorse or revenge. Let's begin with the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6, which Jesus taught following his Sermon on the Mount. Our Father who art in heaven, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's really an alarming request. Forgive us as we forgive those who have done something against us. And it's followed up in Matthew 6, 14 to 15 with this. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Those are the words of Jesus. So now we see how serious the need for forgiveness is. We have the story of Peter asking Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother who sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus answered, no, you must forgive him 70 times, seven times. Seven is in spiritual language in scripture, is symbolic of completeness, just like the world was created in 7 days. Creation was created in 7 days. So that means we must forgive until the forgiveness is complete. We also have showing us the seriousness of forgiveness, the parable of the unmerciful servant. The master forgave one of his servants a debt that was completely unpayable for the rest of his life. He, in turn, would not forgive someone else who owed him a small amount of money, he would not forgive it. The other people who observed that came and told the master, and the master sent him to be tortured. That's a pretty serious sign of the importance of forgiveness. I love this saying by C.S. Lewis. Everyone says that forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. There are some secular studies on the healing power of forgiving. Forgiveness leads to less stress and less depression, fewer health problems, and improvements in the cardiovascular, the muscular, and nervous systems, and less chronic back pain. Also, those who blame others for their troubles have higher incidences of cancer. Those who've learned to handle severe losses in the future better than those who haven't. And learning to forgive now can help limit the degree to which you get hurt in the future. The source of that is a book called Forgive for Good, A Proven Prescription for Health and Happiness by Dr. Fred Luskin. Forgiveness is an act of the will, not a feeling. We are expected to forgive when our hearts don't feel it. On the other hand, if we continue in unforgiveness, that is to the devil's advantage. It's about healing and wholeness for you and freedom for you. So why don't we forgive? Let's go back to the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. The evil one is why we don't forgive. This father of lies, that's what Jesus called him, the father of lies uses deception to con us into not forgiving. He plants all kinds of excuses and justifications in our thoughts. So my purpose today is to go over some of the common tactics of the devil that keep us from forgiving and enjoying the kingdom of God. He'd rather have us in darkness than in the light. So I invite you to listen with your mind and heart and notice what resonates. What's holding us back from forgiving? First, we just don't want to. Sometimes we have that feeling that is not until they feel my pain. We want revenge, forgetting that it's God's injustice. Sometimes the wound is so deep, it seems impossible to forgive. C.S. Lewis again wrote, "Forgiveness goes beyond human fairness. It is pardoning those things that can't readily be pardoned at all." But all things are possible with God. Matthew 19:26. C.S. Lewis also said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." A third common reason for not forgiving is that we're unaware that there's something to forgive. There's either no memory or a stuffed memory, or sometimes there's a denial or of our hurt or minimizing the offense or the harm. I had a personal situation of that where something that happened 20 years ago involving my husband and his boss had been very, very upsetting to me. But when I voiced a concern, I was met with a threat, and it was so awful. I guess I did just sort of stuff that away because it was something totally out of my control and even out of my husband's control at that point. So I forgot about it, but I didn't let go of all the effects of it. I actually think I took that on as being a victim of my husband's job or of my husband's boss. And that was deep in me, and I didn't realize it until some 10 or more years later when I was doing some forgiveness work. I was doing some deliverance for myself, and this person's name just surfaced because the Holy Spirit brought it up. And when I reflected on it, I realized that was something horrible that I did need to forgive. And when I forgave it, I also realized that it was a victim spirit. When I got rid of the victim spirit, I was able to apologize to my husband for years of having been bitter and resentful of his job and probably pretty crabby around the house some days. And I probably made him feel a little guilty when it wasn't anything he had done. So it was a major thing to finally realize that I had been unaware that I needed to forgive that and to forgive it. I'm sorry it took me so long, but I'm glad it's done. A fourth reason is that we fear forgiveness because we misunderstand it. Some people think, if I forgive, I'll keep getting hurt. But that's confusing forgiveness with condoning the behavior. There's also some confusion sometimes about reconciliation and forgiveness, as I mentioned before. We're not talking about having to reconcile with everyone who's ever offended you. In some cases, that would be unsafe. It's certainly not recommended. But forgiveness is an act of the will, a choice, and it is not putting yourself out there to be hurt or abused anymore. A fifth reason is that we fail to take responsibility. Sometimes people demand or expect the other person to apologize or be sorry first. It's conditional to forgive until the other person takes the first step. Another reason to forgive is that by not doing so, you're giving the enemy an advantage. In 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11, it says, "Forgive in order that Satan should not outwit or trick us, for we are not unaware of his schemes." Keeping us in unforgiveness is one of his major tactics. A sixth common reason we don't forgive is that the person we need to forgive is ourself. When we're thinking at someone else, we get into that situation of pointing a finger at someone else, which leaves three fingers pointing back at ourselves. Sometimes we think we deserve what we got. We made what we consider to be a stupid or foolish decision. And for example, hiring a contractor without getting a reference. And then you see what they've done, and they've done shoddy work. And you think, why did I just get taken in by that person's nice personality and not check out the references? Sometimes it's that we have this pride of, I should have known better. But we're not perfect. We're not omniscient. That's just pride speaking. When we focus on our own sin, sometimes that leads us into self-condemnation, which the Lord does not want us to do. There is no condemnation in Christ. Or we have bitterness and rejection towards our own selves. Number 7, often we're just not ready to forgive yet. However, is an excuse. When we think we need more time, a better thing to do is to pray, Lord, help me to be ready to forgive. Help me to forgive. Help me to stop making excuses. Sometimes we just need our story to be listened to well and non-judgmentally without someone giving advice. We just need to be heard. And there are people who do that. We also might need to just say, I'm not really ready to forgive, but I'm going to surrender this to you, Lord, and I am going to obey you because you tell me to forgive. Often we just think that we have already forgiven, but it may have been superficial. Only God changes the heart. It's from the heart that we must forgive. Matthew 18:35 in the parable of the unmerciful servant says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. God changes hearts. When forgiveness is complete, we can sincerely bless those who hurt us, because it's in our heart to do so. Often people transfer the offense from one person to another. The offender may remind them of someone else who hurt them. And perhaps the offender really did nothing wrong, isn't really an offender to them, but just triggers them. So sometimes small offenses by one person can represent some larger rejection. Maybe a rejection by a family member that was really intense. And if somebody just sounds a little bit like or does a little something like that person who hurt you deeply long ago, it triggers you. And that's something that you may think you have to forgive the person that you're transferring or projecting onto, but you haven't really forgiven the offense of the other person that they represent in your mind. The 10th reason I've already touched upon, it's when we have a victim mentality. This may be taken on after abuse or injustice or deception. In my case, it was the injustice of my husband's boss. Jesus was a victim, but he didn't take on the identity of a victim. He laid down his life, but he didn't embrace helplessness, powerlessness, or make excuses. Rather, he said he laid down his life voluntarily. He always trusted the Father. He knew that this was what he needed to do. He knows our pain. So accept and be who you are in Christ. And that is not a victim, because we are in the image and likeness of Christ. We also are not to be victims. We can take back our power, our life, and our rightful place, and that can happen in our minds. The mechanics of forgiving vary. I've learned from many excellent teachers and books over the years, and best of all, from my own experiences. in partial forgiveness initially and in complete forgiveness later. I have put together some approaches and inspiration from Erica D. Jackson James, from Debrina Jackson Gandy, from Delana Michelle Elliott, and from Neil, Janet, and Matt Lozano, Heart of the Father Ministries team, as well as other readings, what I learned when I was in spiritual direction training, and from my own practices. Let me go over some spiritual benefits of forgiveness. Being more Christ-like, closing the door to bitterness, resentment, perhaps also loneliness, or that victim mentality. Opening to freedom, joy, and peace, because deliverance from the oppression of evil influences can't happen while there is unforgiveness blocking that. We also, when we forgive, grow closer to God, and we know God's forgiveness of us and the abundance of his blessings and an abundant life. There are some more benefits of forgiving. Letting go. Being able to speak up for yourself. Reframing your negative thinking. Putting on the mind of Christ and moving forward. That is, going forward with love, choice, values, your calling. Taking center stage rather than compulsion or poor habits or a feeling of obligation. And all of this can have a very positive effect on your relationships. When I forgave one of my kids, it spilled over into forgiveness that blessed the whole, not into forgiveness, but into a whole new atmosphere in my family. I was freer, I was more joyful. But also there wasn't that underlying atmosphere of sadness, of isolation, of estrangement. And so it had a positive effect on the whole family. Here's what I had a hard time with. And it's what God used to give me the ministry that I have been passionate about ever since. I read spiritual books. I prayed. I talked to Barbara Hemphill, who introduces my podcast. I followed her advice to talk to Erica Jackson, now James, who published a book in 2009 called Beyond Fearless, How to Remove Every Hindrance from Your Life. I set up a prayer session with Erica. I spent a full day home alone in the quiet with the Holy Spirit prepping, and I was delivered from unforgiveness. For unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, and judgmentalism are unclean spirits, and Jesus commissioned his followers to do these things, to drive out demons in his name, Mark 16:17, to lay hands on the sick for healing, Mark 16:18, and even greater works than Jesus did on earth, John 14:12. After that session with Erica, I was able to forgive. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. I love that. It's so true. Because my experiences of estrangement, while not intended for harm, did hurt tremendously. And yet, forgiving those who hurt me and myself led me to my ministry of healing and deliverance and training others to do likewise. This reminds me of the scripture story about Joseph, the favorite son of Redeemer with the coat of many colors, whose brothers threw him into a cistern and left him there to die. But he ended up in a power position in Egypt. And in a famine, his brothers came to him for food. And at the end of the story, after Jacob died and the brothers owned up to what they'd done in fear of their brother Joseph, Joseph said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Genesis 50-20. How do you know you've forgiven? Desmond Tutu says, when you've begun to wish the other person well, you've forgiven. When you have a growing sense of inner freedom, when you feel lighter, when you feel peace, when you have warmth in your heart, you know you've forgiven. Father Michael Moore says, when your story changes. Ezekiel 36:25-27 says, I shall pour clean water over you, and you will be cleansed. I shall give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I shall remove the heart of stone from your bodies and give you a heart of flesh instead. I shall put my spirit in you. Practical steps to forgiveness. These are probably a little complicated to just listen to in the next few minutes and have the whole process down, because I'm going to give you 7 steps. But this will later be available as a webinar, a book, or a workshop. First, prepare. It's important to identify both who and what needs to be forgiven. Specifics are necessary. You can look at a situation and figure out who did what and specifically what hurt you. Step 2 is to face it and see what you made it mean. For example, I had a 6th grade teacher who gave me some N's for needs improvement on my report card. On my academics, I had excellent grades, but I had these 2 N's. When my parents saw that on my report card, they grounded me. And they never said anything about the good grades I had gotten. So I made this mean that I had to be perfect. It wasn't okay for a teacher to give you all good grades and tell you that you needed to pay more attention. Step 3, feel it briefly. Identify uncomfortable emotions that you want to release and identify the godly qualities that you would like to confirm, that you would like to affirm, that are probably something sort of opposite. So for example, if I am trying to work on perfectionism and my uncomfortable emotion is feeling like I'm not good enough, then the godly quality I want to affirm is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, for example. That's not the only thing I might choose, but that's one coming to me right now. Step 4 is the ready to get it released list. I do this with 3 different columns. And I have words at the top of the columns that I will use when I'm going through and saying these things out loud. In the first column, I write, in Jesus' name, I release feeling. And then it's a fill in the blank. In the second column, I write, I renounce. And I leave that blank. And when I'm using it, I fill in the unhealthy attitude or a sinful trait that I want nothing more to do with. In the third column, I write, I embody. And then in that column, I would write the quality that I would like to have instead of the unhealthy attitude. So for example, I might say, in Jesus' name, I release feeling not good enough. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I have to be perfect. In the third column, I say, I am made in the image and likeness of God. Now, step 5. This again will involve saying out loud and getting specific, naming a person and what they did. For example, in the name of Jesus, I forgive Mr. Schneider, my 6th grade teacher, for giving me the needs improvement that got my parents upset with me and got me grounded. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my parents for grounding me, for not paying enough attention in class, and not even affirming me for the good grades I got in my academic subjects. That's an example of being specific, and two different people that came up, or three people that came up in one situation. Step number six, this is also a time to release the emotions that you felt. And that is often done by taking something like, you want to do this alone and in a place where you can even make some noise. So I like to take a pillow and I like to pound it and say, you can't do that to me. I release, you know, whatever it is. I release, you know, whatever you're mad about. Right now I don't have anger in me, so it's hard for me to demonstrate that. But pounding a pillow or shaking it out, we want to get this stuff bodily out of us. You can shake it out of your arms and your hands. You can stomp your feet, but do something physical to get to release the negative emotion, the uncomfortable emotion. I'm sorry, I shouldn't call it negative. It's uncomfortable. And finally, six, what is the story or lie that you tell yourself? What did you perceive the offense to mean? This is about reprogramming your mind to eliminate negative self-talk that would hold you bound to unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment, or whatever it is. And I used that before in one of those examples, that in the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I am not good enough. Finally, we're going to pray, you would pray for those that you have forgiven. And then you will know that you have forgiven them when it's easy to pray for them. I hope this has been a help. And I will pray for all of you who have watched this, especially if you've watched it all the way to the end, that the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus would be with you to help you to forgive at least one person in situation following watching this. God bless you. Sending you love.